It is not good for us to be alone. This is one of the most powerful messages we see from the creation accounts at the very beginning of our Bible. The first account creates humanity in God's image, and one translation says God saw that it was supremely good. The second account, Adam, literally human, is there and something is missing. And so God makes a partner because it is not good for us to be alone. From the counts of creation, there is something in our bones that calls us to be together because it's not good for us to be alone. There's a place for us within community. There's a place for each of us at the table. In our bones, we can all agree that we are better together. We, each and every one of us, will have a hard time denying that we are better together, right? Life is more vibrant when we come to the table together. And just as God is a communal God, we are communal too. Even me, a fairly introverted person, love to be able to talk with you during worship in the chat. It's a highlight of my week to be connected. And so as we begin this series that we have titled A Bigger Table, we'll be looking at the different dimensions of following Jesus through the lens of a common table. There's no doubt that the body of Christ has been called to gather together. Often these gatherings happen around tables throughout Scripture, whether it's extending hospitality to strangers who turn out to be angels, or the Last Supper in the upper room, or eating on the beach with Jesus after the resurrection, sharing a table with those who were once outsiders as the early church wrestled with the growing pains. Tables are where people should be able to find a place. And so the question that we're asking today is, what kind of bigger table are we building? And for this, we'll be wrestling with two words. The first is assimilate, and the second is adoption. On the outside, passersby that see the communities that assimilate and those that adopt might look the same at times, but the price of admission and the culture of change between these two communities is very different. And so to see these differences, I want to tell you a couple of stories. Years ago now, my brother-in-law enlisted with the Marine Corps, and upon his completion of boot camp, our family went down to celebrate with him. And from the moment that we had arrived at the base on Paris Island, there was a different culture that we had no idea about. There was different language, there was a different pace of life and customs, programs for families told of a military that I was not familiar with. I had a lot of questions, but I didn't ask them. Later, when we were back at the house that we were renting, I would ask my mother-in-law, who had dedicated herself to learning from online groups and made connection with other Marine parents, about my questions. It was clear, though, that if I wanted to be a part of this world, I'd have to become like them before I could be with them. The instructors didn't often solicit from the recruits what their opinions or feelings were, right? This is what assimilation is. If you want to have a place at this table, you need to learn the right way to behave so that you can fit in. This model works pretty well for the Marines. It has a place, and it's not just in the military, but many other institutions as well. Assimilation is also a way that the church has been talking about building a bigger table for decades, but maybe it's not the most faithful way to build our table. Biblically, the church should be building a table that's based on adoption rather than assimilation. When I think about the process that my family has been going through for the past 5 years of adoption, I cannot imagine the look on our social worker's face if we said that our philosophy is that when our son came, he would have to get on board with our program or hit the road, wash out, right? By no means. is that we are inviting somebody into that. Actually, adoption means that we are going to invite, nurture, and empower those who are finding their chair at the table. We hear what they have to say and see them for who they are. Each person in an adoptive community is grafted in, as scripture says, into the family in a way that fully connects them, but also celebrates their gifts. Rather than demanding, they bend to the standards. This is exactly the conversation that the early church was having when Gentile Christians wanted to be part of the community. The Jewish Christians had to decide if the outsiders needed to assimilate or would they be adopted into the family. The Apostle Paul makes the argument that they must be adopted if we are to follow the model of Jesus. Additionally, Pastor and Professor Chaff Clark points out that in the Roman world, adoption in some ways holds more power than a birthright. Parents could disown their own children that they birthed, but couldn't distance themselves from a child that they have adopted. They couldn't be orphaned again. Oh man. But why do we care? Well, first, let's go to our scripture, right? We have this son who is disavowed by his dad and hopes to get his inheritance. He thinks that he knows better than the father about how to live a life of abundance. And yet that life turns out to be a life of isolation and anxiety. He has no friends and didn't know where his next meal would come from. He was orphaned by his own doing. And so he hatches a plan about how he will assimilate back in to his father's business. But his father has none of that. The dad runs up to this stranger while he's still a long way off, throws a coat around him, puts a ring on his finger, and announces, "My son who was once dead is now alive." He had just been adopted, no strings attached, before even words could get out of his mouth. The table has become bigger, and everyone who has eyes to see now has this new understanding of the Father's grace. What? Is that how we do it? When we build a bigger table, we live into our mutual adoption in Christ as a whole community. And the good news for us today at the table are twofold. Number one, we know that while we may choose our own way time after time, we won't be orphaned by sin because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That's powerful. And second, those who are our table mates enliven our understanding of a God who adopts. As our table grows as an adoptive community, so does our understanding of love and love for God and this role of grace in our lives. Friends, this week, my call to you is that you find a way to connect with some of your table mates. In this way, that reassures them that they are important and that they have a place. After all, this table is more vibrant when you are here and we are each taking the next steps towards lives marked by hope and abundance while we follow Jesus. Amen.